I'm Ken Rosenberg. Samantha Karofsky, who's the main author of this work, was not able to be here. Our presentation is about parents' concerns about vaccines. Some recent vaccine-preventable disease outbreaks have been linked to children whose parents refused or delayed school-required immunizations. Over the past decade in Oregon, more parents have been exempting their children from school vaccination requirements. We linked three data sets to explore vaccine-related concerns that may cause parents to forego timely childhood immunizations. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommends a lot of early childhood vaccines. Healthy People 2010 has set a goal that 80% of two-year-olds should be up to date with the 431-331 series. And I'm not going to repeat them all, but they're right there. And I believe most of you, or many of you, have handouts with this information in front of you. I'm sorry if I didn't make enough. The National Immunization Survey shows that Oregon has been consistently lower than the national average. There are three types of reasons for underimmunization. The first, the top circle, is systemic reasons, like complicated vaccine schedule and problems with access. The second, bottom left, is social norms, particularly relevant in Oregon, where there are some communities with relatively high vaccine exemptions. Particularly, we pick it up at school entry. And the third, in the bottom right, is individual reasons. And examples of that are not trusting physicians, a belief that vaccines are unnecessary, and a belief that vaccines are linked to adverse outcomes. This presentation is about the individual barriers. They're the least understood and appear to be increasing. For this study, we were interested in identifying specific concerns that parents have, or at least articulate, about vaccines. We used data from three sources, Oregon PRAMS, our immunization registry, and birth certificates. Oregon PRAMS is an ongoing survey of Oregon women who've recently given birth. It uses a population-based stratified random sample. We used the children who were born in 2004. The second part of the PRAMS data set that we used here is PRAMS 2, which is a follow-back survey of PRAMS respondents when the child is 2 years old. The mother is re-interviewed. The weighted response rate for PRAMS 2 was 51%, weighting back to the original PRAMS sample. The second data source we used was from the Oregon Immunization Registry Alert. Alert captures shot histories for about 95% of Oregon children. The third data source we used was birth certificate information from Vital Records. The first step was to merge the three data sets. This merge was done through a deterministic link on birth certificate number. We were successfully able to link, of the 865 PRAMS 2 respondents, we were able to link 864, all but one, of those children to the immunization registry data set. The outcome measure was the child's immunization status. We used the immunization registry shot records to assess whether the child was fully immunized or underimmunized. Fully immunized meant the child received that full 431-331 series before turning three. Underimmunized meant the child did not receive all of them. Independent variables were four demographic variables plus parental concern. The demographic variables were mother's race, mother's ethnicity as a separate variable, mother's education, family income. Parental concern came from a PRAMS 2 question that one of our co-authors, Jim Gaudino, had the foresight to plant in this survey in 2004. Here's a list of concerns that people have with immunizations or shots recommended for their two-year-olds. For each item, circle yes if it was concerned for you, or no if it was not a concern. And then it listed eight statements of concern, including some shots are given too early, and shots may weaken my child's immune system. 30% of the children in the study were underimmunized. That's consistent with other statewide information about immunization at the time. Comparing the mothers of underimmunized children to the mothers of fully immunized children, children of white mothers were slightly more likely than the underimmunized to be underimmunized than the children of non-white mothers. There were no significant differences among other demographic variables. This table shows the proportion of underimmunized children whose parent had the specific concern compared to the proportion of fully immunized children whose parent had that same concern. The asterisks denote a statistically significant difference between these two proportions. So in the top row, 16.9% of mothers with under-immunized children felt that shots might weaken the immune system, compared to only 5.6% of mothers with fully immunized children. In the second row, 28% of mothers with under-immunized children felt that some shots are given too early, compared to only 11.3% of mothers with fully immunized children. Now that we knew that mothers with under-immunized children had significantly more concerns, we wanted to quantify how much more likely a child was to be under-immunized if their mother had a concern than if they did not. The variables used in the multivariate analysis included the concern shots may weaken the immune system, the concern some shots were given too early, the concern some diseases won't affect my child, and maternal race. I'm going to focus just on the first model, which is those first three rows, which used race and the three parental concerns to predict under-immunization. In this model, shots may weaken the immune system and some shots are given too early were significant predictors of under-immunization. Prevalence ratios for both types of concerns were 1.67, meaning that a child was 1.67 times more likely to be under-immunized if their parent is concerned that the shots are given too early or the shots weaken the immune system. Among mothers of Oregon 2-year-olds, if the parents are concerned about vaccines, the children are more likely to be under-immunized. The strongest associations were, first, that shots might weaken the immune system, and second, that some shots are given too early. 22% of mothers of fully immunized children have multiple concerns about immunizations. We don't know whether the concerns arose before or after the immunizations. We know, for example, that mothers are unhappy to see their children crying when they get a shot. But there are other factors also. The severity of the concern might be a better predictor of under-immunization than just the existence of the concern. This tells us that addressing parental concern is an important barrier to overcome if we want to increase immunization rates. The strength of this study is that it's drawn from a population-based sample, and the outcome data is from an excellent immunization registry. The limitations are, first, the study design. It's cross-sectional study, so we can't even begin to touch causality as issue here. There are unmeasured confounding factors. And the third is that there's generalizability issues. The results may be unique to Oregon. The PRAMS2 response rate is fairly good for a population-based study weighted for non-response, but it's still only 51%. This was the first year of that PRAMS2 study, and we had not yet implemented a telephone phase. So subsequent years had higher responses. Conclusions. We need to better understand why parents are concerned about vaccines, how much of the concern is from watching children get multiple shots, will combining shots and oral vaccines help, how much of the concern is from distrust of science, how much of the concern is from alternative practitioners. Alternative immunization schedules have been gaining popularity recently. Such schedules often stretch out the time period during which a child receives immunizations. It'll be important for future research to examine the impact of these schedules on disease epidemiology. It's important to develop appropriate vaccine messaging to address these concerns and to continue to work with providers to develop ways to discuss the importance of vaccinating in light of known parental concerns. Thank you. Any questions? Yeah.
Does the variable on shots given too early, is that too early in
their childhood, or is that too soon, like, in succession of one another? My interpretation of it is that too early means when the child is too young. But it's vague because what you're seeing is the question that the mothers see. Mike?
A couple questions. And first, that was really interesting. And so on the PRAMS2 follow-up, how was that data collected?
So for people who aren't familiar with PRAMS,
right,
well, I'll give a little background. PRAMS is a stratified random sample of women 3 months after they have a baby. PRAMS 2, when the baby turns 2, the responding mothers from the first survey are re-interviewed. What we did was we adapted the software that we use in PRAMS and simply have a parallel data set using the same software that does the same data entry, the same quality checks, all of the same stuff, and it's accessible to us in the same ways.
But was it a male and female survey?
Yes. Okay, so actually, no. The PRAMS 2 that's described here had two male, a letter saying you're going to get a survey, a male survey, a reminder letter, a second mailed survey, and another reminder letter. It wasn't until the next year that we implemented a phone phase.
Okay, so I guess my question is, for certain concerns like weakening the immune system, was there a definition of what the immune system was?
Nope. No. I think it was purposely left vague.
Okay, and then secondly, a lot of parents don't get immunizations because of fear of autism, even though science has disproved that link. Are you, so two questions, are you going to follow up?
Let me answer the second one first. We talked for a long time about that, and ultimately we decided if we asked a question about do you believe that vaccines cause autism, we would be enforcing a negative idea that we didn't want people to have, which is why we decided to go with a vaguer question. So let me see if I... You remember what your first part of your question was, Mike?
Yeah, the difference.
If you fund it, I'd love to do it. We're in a different set of dilemmas. From the point of view of the State Health Department, this is a wonderful study because it has enormous depth on two-year-olds, but doesn't have enough breadth to do child health surveillance. So I think probably where our next money would go to would be a BRFS follow-back survey that would give more information about more kids, sort of more like National Survey of Children's Health. Personally, I would love to re-interview these mothers when the kids are 5, 8, and 11, but I need to find a money source to do that. Yeah. Louder, please.
I might have missed this, but the questionnaire, was it based on volunteer interviews, or how did you even divide your
The immunization questions come from the experience of the immunization program at the Oregon Health Department. They had been dealing with these issues of parental concern pretty intensively for 3 or 4 years at the time we put this together. They had done interviews with parents, interviews with health officers, interviews with school people, particularly in one county in Southern Oregon that's got very high exemption rates. And that was what they used to, please cut us off if we're running over. Okay. So it was based on a lot of thought and a lot of experience about it, but they were not in any formal sense validated questions. Yeah. Slide 11. Sure.
So looking at birth model and sort of touring, I was surprised to see a weaker association.
Louder? You know, here's one of the places where I think Oregon might not be generalizable. We have lots of naturopaths. We have an entire chain of private schools that actively discourages. And almost every practitioner in Oregon, especially in three of the counties, deals with parents who are vaccine hesitant weekly, if not daily. It may be that the culture in big chunks of Oregon are just different than other places. This is what we found. I think Dr. Sears and his theories have had a big impact. And remember, this is data that was collected in 2006. We're 4 years behind in terms of what I'm reporting. It seems like it's become more of a problem and not less.